racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
21-year-old Sung Jae Im, well, he proved it. You're never too young to win. Hi, and welcome back into the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka. Proud to be here, though, with Jay Randolph Jr., also known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, age certainly seems to have been eliminated from the winning formula.
Yeah, we're not at that point like we saw in the 70s with tennis, where you got 14 and 15-year-olds being the best. But, boy, we may not be far from it. You have been preaching for about a year and a half now about the fact that the PGA Tour may experience what the LPGA Tour did with that South Korean or Asian infusion. And we've been talking about Sungjae and how close he's been and how good he is, and you wonder what this win is going to mean to him at the tender age of 21. Does it change his MO? The guy plays damn near every week, but, you know, does he now move to a different class? Does he have the confidence at that young age to win a major championship? It's going to be very interesting to follow this young man.
Jay, he seems oblivious to pressure, which is the thing that impressed me the most. He's the youngest winner ever at the Honda Classic. I mean, you know, they've been around for a long time. Matter of fact, Honda has been the title sponsor for nearly 50 years. They're the oldest continuous sponsor on the PGA Tour. And I think the Grill Room, we should give a shout out to Honda and all the good people, because they really have been good to golf.
Yeah, that's hard to believe that it's been 50 years and that they are the longest. And they have been stalwart supporters there in South Florida through some tough times, where they moved to golf courses and moved around different spots. And as we said last week, they found a home, Bob, at the very difficult PGA National Golf Course. The wind blew a lot on the weekend, and it was tough, and scoring was tough. And we saw guys down the stretch in that bear trap really, have tough times.
Yeah, they really did. And I want to give a big shout out to a couple of people. Gary Furman, he's the media director down there, does an outstanding job. Ken Kenley, the tournament director. Both those guys, so inspirational to the success of that event. And, you know, why not? They have, like, Barbara Nicklaus as their boss. I mean, if you can't do a good job when you have Barbara Nicklaus as your boss, you don't know how to do a good job.
Pretty nice to have her as a boss, too. It's a nice team down there. And we talked about it last week, Bob, that no, this wasn't the best field on the PGA Tour because of where scheduling was. But in the end, you had guys like Tommy Fleetwood and Daniel Berger and Lee Westwood with his resurgence, and Brendan Steele and another young Asian, Ben Ahn. So, you know, there aren't many weeks where you don't have some pretty stalwart sticks in the field. For him to hang, you know, him kind of took control of the tournament. He gave the opportunity to Tommy Fleetwood, who really had a hard time playing the 18th hole.
Yeah, he really did. Kind of surprising. We'll get to that a little later. Let's just peel back the onion a little bit on Im's victory. 50th start on tour, as you know, Jay. 6 under par, which was the highest winning total for some time other than majors. He attended the Korean National Sport University, so obviously he displayed some talent early on, Jay. 2019 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year, as you alluded to, he's like an Iron Man. He played in 35 of the 44 events last year. I mean, that's pretty amazing, and kind of dispelling what we've been hearing from, you know, the general population of the PGA Tour. Well, can't play 3 weeks in a row. Yeah, you know, they get paid that kind of money. You would think they'd want to play 52 weeks in a row. So, he's a little bit different. I'll tell you, he's oblivious to pressure. I mean, when you come out on Sunday, Jay, And you open up with birdie, 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 birdie to start your fourth and final round. Man, you got some moxie.
No, you're ready to go, and you're ready to win. And everybody knew it. You know, you mentioned Rookie of the Year. That was Rookie of the Year with two rookie winners on the PGA Tour. So two guys won as rookies, but they didn't get the Rookie of the Year because of this young man's consistent play. And it was coming, and it came, and he took advantage of it. And like I said, for me, you know, it's going to be – he jumps to 25th in the world. He's now second in the FedEx Cup. You know, are we going to sit back at the end of the 2020 year, if you will, or golf season, however you want to look at it, and say we have a new superstar? I mean, that's how good he has been without winning, and now he has won. So we'll see where it takes him. I know this week it's taken him, I believe, right up to Bay Hill to continue his consistent play. So I'm excited. I'm excited because this guy, as you said, Bobby, seems unflappable. He also will show some emotion. He got a little fired up, did a couple of fist pumps. So good for him.
The fifth player, 22 years old or younger, to win on the tour since July 2019. Let me put that in perspective, Jay. From 1985 to the year 2000, only four players, 22 years old or younger, won on tour.
That tells you a lot. I'm trying to think through my mind who that might have been. I guarantee you one of them's a foreign player. And Mickelson is probably the other. And Tiger is obviously one as well. I'd have to look that up, but that says a lot. I mean, we're just starting to see it now. We're continuing to see it. Bob, you mentioned it off the top. It's a young man's game, unless you're on the Champions Tour, and then it's a 62-year-old man's game, which we'll get to. But for Sungjae's efforts, he wins a nice Honda CR-V hybrid along with that 1.2. A million winner's check to put in the glove box.
Yeah, and when we analyze what's coming on the tour now, Jay, they're experienced, they're fit, they're well-trained, and apparently have no fear of winning, which I think is their biggest attribute.
And second place went to Mackenzie Hughes, the Canadian, who had won at the RSM Classic in 2016. But, I mean, Bob and I would have taken this guy on the last couple of months. He's been struggling. He went from 226 on the FedEx Cup all the way up to 66. And here's what the Canadian had to say after the second place finish.
I knew I was never really that far off, but, I mean, it's all results. And the results weren't good so far this year. And I always believed I could do it. But, you know, until you do it and get yourself back in there, there's always that bit of doubt. And, I mean, this golf course I knew would bring out my best because it's just such a grind. And I mean, you just have to hang in there and just hang in there and hang in there. And I mean, I just fought all weekend, and yeah, it was a lot of fun to be back in the mix though.
Well, he said exactly how you have to play that Champions course at PGA National. You got to hang in there and hang in there because things are going to get tough. I want to talk right now, though, Jay, one of the favorites of both of us, and that is Tommy Fleet, as you call him, Tommy Fleetwood from England. He comes to the 18th hole, par 5, water right, needs a birdie to get in the playoff. Hits a magnificent drive, has options for his second shot, but he plays a second shot that indicated to me that he made some kind of decision that he's going to try and make eagle there. You know, and he flirts with danger on the right. He's a normal drawer of the golf ball, as you well know, Jay, and he misses it right. Bad mistake for Tommy Fleetwood.
Giant mistake. I mean, just colossal mistake. I mean, it's right there in front of you. All you got to do is make four, put it somewhere up around the green on the left side, or, you know, take it toward, start it at the flag and turn it. If it doesn't catch the green, you got a chip and a putt and you're playing for more. Tommy Fleet's had a couple of troubles down the stretch. I'm not saying it's a trend, but it's something to keep an eye on. That was a very, you know, and he made the bomb on 17. to put himself in that position where he didn't have to make eagle. It was very, very disappointing, I'm sure, for him. Now, he's had a ton of success at Bay Hill, so we'll see how he pops out this week off the disappointment on Sunday. You had four solid players tied for fourth. Ben Ahn, Lee Westwood, Brendan Steele, and Daniel Berger. And it was nice, Bob, to see Luke Donald back into the mix. Had a chance going to the final round. Didn't fire on all cylinders, but he's trying to find some form again.
Yeah, former world number one. Great to see him. He's really one of the class acts out on the PGA Tour. I've known him for a long, long time. Makes his home in Jupiter, Florida, not very far from PGA National. We have to mention Brooks Koepka, Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, just three of the players, notables, that really missed the cut.
There were a lot of good players that missed the cut. It's a hard golf course, as you said, Bob, but you're going to get beat up through the course of 36 holes, and it depends on how you recover. Fowler got off to just a brutal start to start his day on Thursday. Koepka, we've talked about, still, I don't think, 100% physically. Surprised by Justin Rose. I thought that venue would help him. But again, another golf course this week where he has played so well at. But it was surprising to see Fowler play so poorly and Rose miss the cut.
Well, let's move on to a happier note. Jack and Barbara Nicklaus, or rather, Barbara and Jack Nicklaus. Barbara is the force behind the Honda Classic charity endeavor. She's a guiding light for the Children's Hospital of South Florida, and Jack's role is just to support Barbara's effort. Now, let me ask you this, Jay. Did you happen to catch when Jack was up in the tower on Sunday talking with Azinger and Dan Hicks?
I did. I really enjoyed it. I loved his talk about the celebrations and the family and the friends. I also thought he made a very good point when he talked, Bob, about the fact that this is a par 70 golf course. If you take one of those par fives and make it a par four, you know, probably 10 under wins the golf tournament. It's like every other tournament. So, you know, Jack's got just a great perspective. He thinks differently than just about everybody. He's extremely smart. And as you well know, a lot of those smart people are sometimes awkward, but Jack's not. And he was great in that setting, and I loved seeing that emotion. My dad called me, and it was, I want to say 65 years ago, that my dad first saw Jack Nicklaus with his dad at Pinehurst on the driving range and watched him hit balls. My dad's 7 years older than Jack, six or seven years older than Jack. And it was the North South Amateur, and Jack had driven down with his dad to play. And my dad said at that time, boy, you know, he hit the golf ball differently than everybody else at the age of 15.
Well, he did something on Sunday while he was up in that booth. You know, Dan Hicks, Paul Azinger, they get paid to talk, but very rarely, if ever, as a matter of fact, might be the first time I've witnessed it, Jack Nicklaus comes out with a comment that prevented Paul Azinger and Dan Hicks from saying a word when Jack was reminded that both Barbara and Jack were celebrating their 80th birthday. Jack says, "You mean I'm sleeping with an 80-year-old woman?"
That was a great line. that was, and he said, "I might get me in a little trouble when I go home this evening." And in addition to their 80th birthday celebrations, Bob, these two tied the knot at the age of 20, and they're going to celebrate their 60th anniversary. What a team Jack and Barbara have been!
Two of the finest people that I've come across in all of my years of covering professional golf, along with you, Jay. We both have the utmost admiration for Barbara and Jack Nicklaus. Well, next up on the schedule is the Arnold Palmer Invitational, presented by MasterCard at Bay Hill. We'll preview Arnie's tournament right after the break.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
The Capitol Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people in the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. We've dissected the Honda, and now it's that time of the year when we celebrate the King Arnold Palmer. You can find Bob Bubka on Twitter at Bob Bubka, V-O-G. You can find me, Jay Jr., STL Golf Geek, on Twitter. And Bob, before we get to the King, AP and his playground, Bay Hill, in this big week, Bernhard Langer won his 41st title on the PGA Tour Champions at the age of 62. He became the second oldest to win on the Champions Tour as an individual. There was a team event where somebody won, I think it was Mike Fetchick, back in 83. He is four away from Hale Irwin at the age of 62. As I've talked about before, he's a man of great faith, and he has kept himself in pristine condition. Before we move on to Arnold, do you think Bernhard will catch Hale?
Well, I'll say this about Bernhard Langer. It had to be about 5 years ago. Had the occasion to spend some time with him. And I said, Bernhard, let me ask you, have you gained any weight since you slipped on that green jacket back in 1985? He said, I have, Bob. He said, 5 pounds.
Yeah.
I said, pretty good. He says, yeah, but it's all muscle. So
he is fit as a fiddle.
Right.
I mean, they used to joke about Sneed telling people to punch me. That's because Sam's belly was tough enough to take it. You could actually punch Bernhard and he'd take it because of that abdomen and those pecs. So way to go, Bernhard Langer. We'll see if he can get to it. Well, one of the cool things that our friend Howdy Giles, longtime photographer of Arnold Palmer and personal friend, posted, Bob, on Facebook, was that the U.S. postal stamp issued with the Palmer likeness. I think they're being issued in Florida first, and some of the people in Pennsylvania weren't real happy. I don't care. I just got to get one or two of those.
Yeah, well, I put a request out to Howdy Giles. Howdy also was Arnold Palmer's dentist for all these years, but an avid photographer. Howdy has provided me with so many great pictures of conversations that I was having with Arnie and whatnot. Howdy's a good guy, and I have made that request to get some stamps. If I get any, I certainly would pass one on to
put
you.
Put one away for Jay Jr., will you?
You got it, my man. Pretty good field here for Arnold Palmer. I think he'd be happy. We already alluded to the fact that Sungjae Im going to be playing, Mark Leishman, Ricky Fowler. You know, Fowler, it's almost,
you wonder.
It's almost becoming that juncture in the road. You know, is he going to you know, come back to the electricity that he once possessed in that golf bag, or he's just going to take his money and mellow out?
I think he's got too much fight in him to do that. But it is getting frustrating, I'm sure, for him. He is in a featured pairing. You mentioned Leishman. He always seems to play well here. Then you just look at Justin Rose off the miscut. You know he's going to be eager. Rory, now Mr. Consistency, and loves Bay Hill. And, oh, Francesco Molinari, who shot like nothing in the final round last year to win the golf tournament. How good is that? And then you throw in the lefty, Phil Mickelson. You throw in Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed. How about that trio of individuals, if you will?
I look at those three names. And, I mean, any one of them playing 18 holes, anything could happen. Anything crazy certainly could happen. When I put all three of them together, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, Phil Mickelson is fit as a fiddle. He really looks great. Bryson
and
DeChambeau,
playing good.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau, he is bulked up. And Patrick Reed suddenly has the ability to be oblivious to anything going on around him other than his golf game. I mean three guys.
Yeah, I mean, when I just saw that, and the more while you were talking about it, the more you think about it, I mean, that really is three of the interesting cats to take a look at and their mindset, and they're all three so different, it's unique. Adam Scott, Jason Day, and Brooks Koepka. Now, you'd think that would just be, here we go, but we talked about Koepka, only his fifth start of the season. Mentioned to you a month ago that one of my friends had talked to somebody involved with the Harmon folks and said at that time he was about 90%. Adam Scott, who won recently in L.A., and Jason Day, a winner here in 2016. Really good stuff.
Yeah, three great guys, too. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I'd be hard-pressed if I was given the opportunity to follow one of those threesomes. I don't know who I would choose. Ultimately, I probably would go with Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, and Patrick Reed, because I wouldn't take my eyes off them, because any split second, something would happen there. How about this, though, Jay? Three spots in the Open Championship are up for grabs as the Arnold Palmer Invitational has it, an Open Championship qualify. That's pretty good stuff. And how that works for our listeners, the top three players not already qualified who finish in the top 10 in ties will be in the Open Championship, going to be at Royal St. George's. We'll be there in July.
Yeah, I'll have to look and see if maybe this takes away some of those spots, Bob, that we saw in the weeks leading up to the Open, where you'd see a guy win at the John Deere and then make the flight that night. I don't know, but I do think, I mean, it's huge for those. It's a huge added thing. If some guy's on that leaderboard going into Sunday that's, you know, maybe in seventh position and can have a big round, to put himself in one of those three spots for the otherwise not eligible, that's a huge bonus.
And you're 100% correct. And nothing's changed as far as that. I know John Deere, it's going to be the same situation. Players will have an opportunity to qualify for the Open Championship if they're not already qualified. And I read this next item, and a little sadness comes to mind for me. Arnold Palmer's grandson, Sam Saunders, who's an outstanding young man, a very talented golfer, he's going to be hosting the annual State of the Arnold Palmer Invitational press conference, as Arnie always did. That's on Wednesday morning. And I can remember year after year after year, being in the media room, waiting for the king to come. He would conduct his press conference. I would stand up and I'd say, "Do you have a minute, Mr. Palmer?" And he said, "Sure. What do you want?" And, you know, I'll never forget those opportunities to be up close and personal with Arnold Palmer. Even now, I'll be candid, Jay, when I think back, I have a hard time deciding, did I imagine those things happening, or did they really occur? And they certainly did.
You and I have been extremely fortunate and lucky, and we know that. We understand that, to have had the opportunity to be around the king and others, but the king especially, in the way he conducted himself, his humor. You know, he was, that's why they called him the king. I mean, come on. And there's still a void in the game. It's okay that there's a void in the game, but he lives on with memories and people like Howdy, who we talked about earlier, and you and me and others that have had the opportunity to be around him. And in some of those great pictures, that my screensaver is a picture of him and Hogan having a smoke at the Masters. So he's always close to me.
We were definitely lucky, Jay, to be in a position to have opportunities to be one-on-one with Arnold Palmer. And what I love best is how much you appreciate it and how much I truly appreciate it. Some changes coming up in the 2021 schedule. The Honda Classic's going to move to a new date. They're going to try it for 3 years, I guess. It's going to be the week after the Players. So the schedule tentatively right now, probably is going to unfold this way: the Genesis Invitational, the World Golf Championship down in Mexico, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the Players, and the Honda Classic. They feel that being the week right after Mexico, it kind of hurt their field. I'm not so sure playing the week after the Players, Jay, that that's going to motivate any more players to come play the Honda.
I think it's a little bit of a bad move, to be honest with you. I again, the field wasn't that bad. The crowd seemed pretty good. You know, there's not much you can do. Now, they're trying. But as you said, Bob, with Tiger and an invitational now, and Tiger reaching out to guys, "Hey, play in my event." Then the World Golf Championship. Then another invitational, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We just mentioned three spots available in the British Open now. Then the Players at TPC Sawgrass. I don't know. That's going to be one to keep an eye on. And I'm also interested now and a little saddened that the Valspar Championship's moving to a late April date, because I do think that might affect their field a little bit. It's a wonderful golf course. And since it's been at this time of year the last couple of years, moving from the fall back in the day, they've had good fields. It's just tough. I mean, you know, some places are going to have to just accept sometimes that, you know, guys are going to take weeks off.
Yeah, the one beauty of the PGA Tour now, the talent is so deep.
Yeah.
Anybody in the top 100 players out on tour, 150 players out on tour, could come and win their event.
You know, I mean, Bob, you had Sungjae Im and Tommy Fleetwood battling for a tournament. Now, you know, Im hadn't won, and Fleetwood hasn't necessarily been a winner, but those are two world-class guys that people understand. So, you know, I think, again, it wasn't as bad a field as maybe they believed it was.
No, I think it was pretty good. I may have you deliver a little message to your boy Rambo. You've been bragging about him for quite a while. But when he goes out there bragging about his second wedding, I mean, only two? Come on, Rambo, you're a rookie.
Now, let's remind everybody that it was his second wedding over the weekend because he celebrated the first one over in Spain with his family. And then this one was in the Phoenix area where, of course, he's resided. And he's got friends and family. So it's not a double dip. It's still a single. And hopefully it will remain that way for him. It's tough out there.
Yeah, it really is. I had an open reservation. I celebrated all of mine in Las Vegas, so it was fun. And, hey, let's move on. Here's something that really interests Jay Randolph Jr. The PGA Tour announced that they have partnered with the Action Network and launched the Golf Bet platform. How long have you and I been talking about this, that ShotLink and betting on golf, the PGA Tour is licking its chops on another revenue stream that they think is going to be huge?
Here you go. You're watching Sunday night. Tommy Fleet hits it right down the pipe. All he's got to do is make birdie. He gets in a playoff with Sung J.M. You're going to have the chance, folks, to bet on what Tommy Fleetwood would do. Would he make four at that moment? Or you'll have odds on him winning the golf tournament. This has been coming. When they created the relationship with DraftKings for the fantasy, we knew this was coming. The tour has been more open about this than they usually are with different things, trying to get ahead of it. It's coming across the board in all sports. My advice to everybody, including myself, is play wisely and only spend what you can afford to lose.
Very good advice. I can firsthand say Jay has never followed that rule his entire life.
Anyway, I'm just giving it as advice.
Yeah, that's for sure. Anyway, other news. I was kind of surprised about this on one hand, maybe not so surprised on the other hand. Dustin Johnson said no Olympics for him.
I don't know. I mean, he claims he's going to focus on the FedEx Cup. I think this Olympic thing, you know, we talked about the kid who finished second, Mackenzie Hughes. I mean, that was huge for him as it related to the Canadian Olympic team. A little disappointed, but, you know, again, you have to pick and choose where you want to be right. And he's made the decision that he wants to be right for the FedEx Cup and not right for the Olympic Games. So he's not going to be part of the Olympic Games.
Well, putting money over gold is it's a personal decision. And I respect Dustin Johnson, but you know, whatever he decides for himself, that is fine. A decision that really has me shaking my head. Tiger Woods, you know, they announced he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. What is that all about, Jay?
They've lowered their standards, haven't they?
Jeez.
There ought to be a wing at the Hall of Fame for him and Jack, and then a room for everybody else. But, you know, when you get eligible, you get nominated, and I would imagine, I don't know, I like the guys that want to wait a while before they take entry. We'll see what Tiger does. We're going to be watching very closely at the Players' Championship, and we're going to be probably watching very closely at the entry process of the Players' Championship to make sure he's entered in the Players' Championship. But Tiger is going to get in the World Golf Hall of Fame. That's one Bob and I will stake it all on.
Yeah, don't use your betting rule on that. All in on that one. Tiger Woods being nominated for the World Golf Hall of Fame. Actually, your first idea was pretty good. They ought to create a hall for Jack and Tiger. Everybody else being in the other Hall of Fame.
Here are these two guys, and then maybe like as you go back, you go through history. On your way up, and it's a little different because those two stand out, and I know some of the people would say, but what about Bobby Jones? Hey, trust me, I love Bobby Jones. I love the story. Different time, different era. These two guys, since 1958, have, along with the king, don't get me wrong, as I always say, Arnold's the most important individual, Jack's the greatest winner, but nobody played golf like Tiger Woods.
That, and one last thing before we go to our featured guest this week, the PGA Tour has gathered all the information, and they decided that this time there will be no scheduled changes due to the coronavirus. I mean, it is a nasty, nasty virus that's going around the world, and I feel sorry for anybody that's being affected by it. It just amazes me that two businesses are really suffering because of the coronavirus. People have stopped going to Chinese restaurants and drinking Corona beer, thinking it has anything to do with the coronavirus.
Oh, please tip your waitress on your way out, folks. Guess what? Bob called him a featured guest. That's putting him in a new light. Alex Maselli, as usual, there's no telling what our man, the mouth that roars, will say. Stay with us, because that's coming your way next. Alex Maselli right here on In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. We're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected. Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase the season pass. Walters Golf Management manages eight other properties, and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com.
Time now in the grill room to welcome an old friend. He's the founder of Morning Read. Name is Alex Maselli. Alex, two different topics. One, Tiger nominated for the Hall of Fame. To me, my initial reaction, way too soon. Why not wait till he at least finishes his career on the PGA Tour? Your position?
Well, I don't think any player should be in the Hall of Fame until they're done playing. The problem with that in golf is the fact that not only do you play on the PGA Tour, but then you can progress along to the Champions Tour, and you could be 60 by the time you finally get honored. And if we wait till Tiger gets to 60, there may not be a Hall of Fame. So I know what the powers of be are trying to do. I don't agree with it, but I mean, 50 was fine with me, but they moved it to 45 so they could get Tiger in. You know, they wanted to get the biggest bang for the buck, Bob. I mean, there's no question that Tiger's a first ballot, you know, if we were doing it that way, first ballot Hall of Famer, no matter what. But I can name other guys that are as well. But they wanted Tiger in, and this is how they're doing it.
Good response. I think you might have a little more difficulty responding to my second question because of extenuating circumstances. Number one, you really have a great relationship with Paul Azinger, and you have strong ties to the European Tour. Your thoughts on the comment that Paul Azinger made over the weekend, in effect minimizing whatever happens on the European Tour?
You know, it's interesting. I've seen some other comments since what happened on Sunday with Paul and his comments about the European Tour. And a lot of it had to do more with the tone than it did the substance. You know, they felt like he was dissing the PGA, or rather the European Tour, not because of what he said, but the way he was saying it, which, you know, I mean, you can take that if you want. But the bottom line is that most people would agree that you can't be considered a good or great player if you don't win on this tour. And that's not just just American players, that's Asian players, that's European players. Because if that wasn't the case, why would they come here in droves when they can? Why would they make the sacrifice, in some cases for the European players and Asian players, it's a sacrifice to come here and play. It's a foreign country. You know, a lot of them don't get comfortable here. They play poorly because they are here. They don't like it here. So they're making a sacrifice to come here. Why did they come here if there isn't that reason? Now, people can say it's about the money, and I'm not going to disagree that money has something to do with it. But in the end of the day, every player will tell you that the reason they come here is they want to beat the best. So I think that was what Paul was trying to say. That's what Tommy Fleetwood actually understands. That's what most of the European players understand. The concern that they had is that it wasn't what he said, it was how he said it.
Well, I take exception to the fact that you can't be a great player if you don't win on the PGA Tour. My number one witness would be Colin Montgomery.
I have to disagree with you, Bobby. And my reason is that Colin Montgomery, after all those numerous attempts to win a major championship, couldn't get it done. Now, you can argue that he had all those order of merits, which clearly has given him enough to get into the Hall of Fame, but he didn't win a major. He didn't win on the PGA Tour. And when he had chances to win majors, he basically folded like a cheap suit. So that's the guy you want in the Hall of Fame. That's the guy you want to hang your hat on. Go ahead. But it's not the guy I want to hang my hat on.
But he is in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be.
No, didn't win a major. You can't be in the Hall of Fame if you didn't win a major. That should be the number one. That should be the minimum criteria. You have to have at least won a major. I mean, John Daly won two majors and won, I don't know, five or six times on the PGA Tour. John Daly deserves it more than Colin Montgomery.
Well, I think John Daly at some point probably will be admitted to the Hall of Fame because of winning two majors. But we'll agree to disagree as usual, just like the old days when we did this show together. But Alex, I appreciate your time, and give Monty a little more love. He deserves it, even though he was sometimes cruel to me, but we won't bring that up. Alex Maselli, founder of Morning Read, thanks for joining us in the Grow Room.
Tell me who he wasn't cruel to, Bobby.